No, I want the heckling. I like that. That's what I'm used to. That I get up here, and you guys are all quiet. I don't know what to do. My brain just shuts off. If people are making fun of me, I'm used to that. That's what I get every day. Right? You know, I teach middle school. Yeah, pass the Bibles. If you want a Bible, raise your hand. And by the way, we're going to be in 2 Kings 6. And you can start turning to that. You can get that in your hands. Now, I'm going to probably be reading out of a different translation than what you have, but I did that on purpose because I want the translation I read to contrast what you're reading, because I think when you see that contrast in the words, it'll help you to see what's going on with this. Because all throughout the Old Testament, what you find are these pictures of grace and these snippets of the gospel and what God is going to be doing through Jesus many years at that time in the future. And this is one of those stories. It's the gospel in just a few verses. It's pretty amazing. And it's one of those things that it can be overlooked because there's no setup for the story and there's no follow-up after. It's just there. And I just love it because it's kind of a fun story. So I want us to have fun today. But as we do that, let's just get our hearts right and let's pray. So if you join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that all along, from the beginning of time that you created, you have planned for you to create a path of salvation so that we could have a personal relationship with your Father through you dying on the cross. And we celebrate that today. We thank you for everything that you have done and everything that you are. It is in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, so if you want to turn to 2 Kings 6, we'll just start here in chapter 1. And like I said, there's no setup for this. There's really just no background. This is the prophet Elisha, not Elijah. This is Elisha. He was Elijah's successor. So he came immediately after. He was actually one of Elijah's disciples. And I will start. Now, I'm reading out of this translation of the Bible called The Message. And I like it because it kind of puts it in very simple terms, because I'm kind of a simple kind of guy. One day, the guild of prophets came to Elisha and said, "You can see that this place we're living under your leadership is getting cramped. We have no elbow room. Give us permission to go down to the Jordan where each of us will get a log and we will build a roomier place." Elisha said, "Go ahead." And then one of them said, "Please come along with us." And he said, "Certainly." He went with them. They came to the Jordan. They started chopping down trees. As one of them was felling a timber, his axe head flew off and sank in the river. "Oh no, master," he cried out, "and it was borrowed." The holy man said, "Well, where did it sink?" And the man showed him the place. He cut off a branch, tossed it in at the river at the spot. The axe head floated up. "Grab it," he said, and the man reached out and took it. And that's the story. It's kind of an interesting thing, right? One of the focuses in one of the focuses that God has been showing me in my personal quiet time and just as I live out life are the things God does. I mean, seriously, you could fill a whole Sunday service if I just drop the mic and say, "Come on up one by one and share stories about what is God doing in your life," you would fill hours. And it would encourage everybody. You know what I mean? It would be amazing. I mean, the Holy Spirit would just come and descend upon the building. And I've thought about doing that. I didn't do that, Jim. I'm not going to walk. But I think it would be amazing just to hear what is God doing in the lives of his people. And it would bless everybody. I mean, there are just incredible stories just here of what God is doing. You know, if you take a look at the Bible, I mean, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, they didn't look at life as a timeline. We think, you know, you're born in a certain year, and I won't tell you when I'm born, but and then you just move on. You know, but they didn't look at God that way. They saw God as someone that if he did it before, he's going to do it again. You know what I mean? If God showed grace before, he will do it again. If God provided for us before, he will provide again. You know what I mean? And so when you hear these stories about what God is doing, I'm convinced that it would just bless your socks off. Well, if you have socks, you don't even have socks. So I do. But it would just bless your socks off just knowing what God is doing. Here are the things God does. He forgives, he provides, and he has compassion. It's all here. It's in this story. Now, a little bit of background about Elisha. He was formerly trained as a prophet of God. He was, after Elijah's ministry was completed, Elisha took over. And he was a prophet to Israel, the northern kingdom. He was also a farmer. I don't know if you knew that. And back then, that was by nature a non-GMO farmer. Yeah, so I mean, he's all for it, yeah. He was a good student. He was really willing to learn. He wanted to take it all in. He wanted to learn so that he would be equipped to do what God would have him do in the future. He was one of those really moldable souls. He was very effective as a replacement for Elijah, too. He wanted to learn from his master and then go beyond. You know what I mean? I think that's an effective replacement. If you're going to learn from someone over you and then you go and expand on their ministry, I think that really honors them. You don't want to just come underneath them and just always say, "Oh, they're so much better than me." That's not what it's about. You want to let God use you to take you forward and just let God move forward and you're kind of along for the ride. And that's what Elisha did. He basically walked around responding to situations, but he did always with compassion. You know, because he had seen the power of God, and then Elisha's focus of his ministry was this real sentiment toward the people. And it's pretty amazing, but then in the light of this story, because Elisha, he knew something about God that he really presented. Even the prophet Jonah, you know Jonah in the whale, well, or big fish, or whatever you want to call it. Even Jonah says this about God: "I knew you were sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered and rich in love, and ready at the drop of a hat to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness." Even Jonah knew that about God. You know, Elisha understood that. Sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered and rich in love. I mean, it's easy to look through the Old Testament and you'd see God as just a big ball of anger, you know. He's like, "Oh, I'm going to send the flood." Or, you know, let's call Moses and we'll burn a bush in front of him, and you know. But it's you see throughout the Old Testament pictures of grace, and you see that there are people in the Old Testament that sees God as someone who is powerful and who is mighty, and you don't mess with him. But yet he is sheer grace and mercy, and not easily angered. You see that, and you see that in this picture. Okay, on the surface, the axe head. If you read this story, it's going to show God's care and provision. Okay, that's what it looks like. And you'll see that it's for those that are already trusting God. That's what it looks like on the surface. And that God provides in really insignificant ways, or in insignificant situations that God can provide. But it goes beyond that. And God does provide in insignificant situations. You ever had that happen? I have all the time. And I think, you know, God can provide in a big way, and that's really encouraging. But for me, it's the little things that happen where you're like, "Wow, God, you even care about that?" You know, like a parking spot at Costco or my favorite all-time story, and this just happened a couple years ago, and I've always wanted to say the word toilet in church, so I will. I guess I just did. But I was trying to repair a toilet. You know, the flushing mechanism, it just went out. And, you know, it happens, right? So I go to, and I get the thing to replace it. And so I go and do that. And then I go try to hook up the water line. And it was one of those water lines that was already pre-bent. It was already, it's metal, you know. And so the new mechanism I put in was sitting in there a little bit differently. So when I tried to go attach the water line, I couldn't get it to attach without it leaking everywhere. So when I got it hooked up, you turn on the water, it was just spraying. And there was nothing I could do to bend it into place. It wasn't the right length for the new mechanism. And it was late at night. I was really bummed. I even walked down the hallway and I told Hope, my wife, I'm like, well, I guess we don't have a toilet tonight, you know, in our bathroom. And I was really bummed. Yeah, but get this. As I'm walking back to go, in my pity party, God said, look in the bottom drawer in that bathroom. I'm like, okay. And I opened the bottom drawer, and guess what? There was a flexible water line sitting in that drawer. I don't know where it came from. Honestly, I don't buy that stuff. You know, I'm not just walking through Ace Hardware. I just go get what, if anyone knows me, I don't shop. I get what I need and I leave, you know. And there was a flexible, I wouldn't buy that. It's just there in the drawer. And God says to me, it was amazing. I literally hit my knees in the bathroom. And God says, I know what you need even before you know what you need. You know, well, that's what this story is all about. He is setting the world up for this gospel, this good news. It's all about grace. So let's pick it apart. If you start in verse 5, he has these disciples, and they follow him around. That's what they did. They would live with him. So I guess he had a small house because they were complaining about the living quarters. And so they wanted a bigger place. So I think maybe he thought, you know, give us permission to go down to the Jordan and give us, we'll make a place. He's like, great, they're finally moving out. Cool. And then they're like, come along with us. But he didn't notice, he doesn't argue. He just says, okay, go. Certainly, I'll go. And as they're chopping logs, there's, you know, the big trees. One of them has his axe head fly off. Now, it's made of iron, which back then, now this is right around 850 BC. Back then, iron was a valuable metal. Okay, so this axe head flies off and goes in the water. And he didn't know what to do. So he calls out to Elisha, and he actually calls him master. And your translation might call him Lord. And that's because they would look at Elisha as he represented God to them. He was God's mouthpiece. He represented God. And so what they were doing is they follow Elisha. They're really learning, how do you become more like God and doing the things God does? So they called him Lord, or in my translation here, it says master. But then he says, hey, it was borrowed. It's not even mine. He couldn't even pay it back. I mean, it wasn't something that he could do. You know, he was bummed out. He's like, oh, great, now this, you know, mafia is going to come after me, and I can't even repay the value of this thing. It's far more valuable than what I could ever do. It's kind of like us. That axe head represents us when we're separated from God. We're valuable, but we're separated. We're gone. We no longer have function. We're just separated, and we're in the water. You know, you ever try to chop a tree down with the axe head? I've had an axe head fly off before. You know, it's just, God, you just have a stick. You know, what are you going to do with that? So then, what does Elisha do is he asks this question, where did it sink? You know, where did it sink? And that's kind of like God meeting you where you're at. Where did it sink? Where are you at? You know? And notice Elisha, he doesn't get in the guy's face. He doesn't say, oh, I can't believe you. You were holding it wrong. You're swinging it the wrong. You weren't doing it right. You know, he wasn't doing that. He just says, he just goes right there. And he acts. You know, he wasn't trying to belittle the guy. I don't believe God does that. If you blow it, and we all blow it. Come on, let's be honest. If we blow it, God doesn't get in your face. Oh, you're so dumb, and you know you can't do anything. That's not God saying that. You know what I mean? That's not God telling you that. That's not what God does. God is about grace and restoration. So Elisha goes over, and the man shows him. But then he gets something pretty amazing. He cuts off a stick, or your translations might say broke off a stick. And then he throws it where? It's kind of like school. Where does he throw it, people? Where does he throw it? At the spot. He throws it in the water at the spot. And that's kind of like God, again, he's doing something. He's acting. But what do you think that cut off stick represents? That's Jesus. It's cut off. And he throws it right where it's needed to be, you know. It's just another picture of grace. The stick represents Jesus crucified on the cross. Something given in exchange for what you need. You get it? The stick wasn't retrieved later. It doesn't record that. It had to be given in exchange. Elisha threw it in because he wanted the axe head. You know what I mean? Something had to be given in exchange. Jesus had to be given in exchange in order for us to have a personal relationship with a just and righteous God. And then Elisha says, well, the axe head actually floated up. I'll get to that in a moment. But Elisha says what? Grab it. Take it. We have to do that. In the face of forgiveness, in the face of ultimate grace, you have a decision to make. And let's face it, grace is hard. It's getting what you don't deserve, right? It's by nature completely unfair. If you're around someone else who receives grace, it's hard because you're like, wow, they got grace. You might have this sense of, well, that's not fair. You're right, it's not fair, but it's just, and that's the way God works. And so Elisha says, take it. You have to accept it. Take it. This axe head had floated up. Now, people wonder, you know, I've read about this before. They're trying to pick apart the science of iron floating. Okay. And I'm a science teacher, and I don't know my anything, but. Hey, let me tell you, do you want to know the science behind this? I researched it. I was thinking about this. Do you want to know the science behind this? There is no science behind this. It's not there. Axe heads can't float if they're made of iron. They can't if they're made of, like, hollow plastic. But they can't when they're made of iron. Not even Warren Gibson could make this axe head float. Okay. This is something that only God can do, okay? I mean, if you really want to pick into it for you science people, in order for something to float on water, it has to have a density of less than 1 gram per cubic centimeter, right? Iron doesn't. It's not even close. So if you want to think about it, here's another little metaphor for you. The iron would have had to become less dense in order for it to float. If the iron then represents you, you see where I'm going with that? Okay, it's not science. It's just, it's something that God did, and there's no explanation for it. I cannot explain the water line in my drawer, but it's something that God did. Jesus, when he went around and he would heal people, but he also did something pretty amazing, is he would forgive their sins. That's something only God can do, okay? Only God can forgive us our sins. So when Jesus, he would heal some people, and you read about this, and then he would say, oh, and your sins are forgiven. That astounded people. They're like, wait, that's something only God can do. So that must mean that you're saying you are, oh, wow. You get it? Jesus is God. So you see this in this picture of grace here in this story, that God is doing something. He is providing a pathway of forgiveness. God wants to restore us. He wants people to be in perfect relationship with him. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. And that's why throughout the Bible, throughout its word, you find pictures of God reaching out to his people and providing a pathway and saying, I am here for you. And in this case, many decades before Jesus was even walking on the earth in his earthly ministry, you find it just in 7 verses, this picture of the gospel. So this same God that is throwing this story at us in his word is the same God that is throwing the stick in the water for you right now. You know? And he wants to have this personal relationship with us. He wants that. He desires that. All we have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. Take it. Take it. God does the miraculous work, the forgiveness, through Jesus on the cross. He does the miraculous. He makes the axe head float. All you have to do is take it, accept it. And he knows where you sink. He knows where I sink. And that's why it's just such a beautiful picture back then of what Jesus did on the cross and what Jesus does now. Let's bow our heads. Father God, thank you that you love us, that you don't desire that we would be separated from you in any way. As a matter of fact, you were tired of us being separated from you, and so you provided a plan, and you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to die in our place, because we are valuable in your eyes. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will speak to our hearts now during this ministry time and show us if there's any of us that need our axe head to float, to recognize you've already thrown the stick in the water. You've already provided Jesus, the Lamb of God, to provide that pathway for us to have this really right relationship with you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you are doing, because we are blown away by how you act. It is in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Kroz.